A Benson Diary. And as usual, we start with a poem. Fair daffodils, we weep to see you haste away so soon. As yet the early rising sun has not attained his noon. Stay, stay, until the hasting day has run, but to the evensong, and have prayed together we will go with you along. This poem is never far from my mind, but this year it has been particularly insistent. Whether it is because of the trumpeting glory of this year's daffodils, which have appeared everywhere, by roadsides, hedgerows, on grassy borderlands, in gardens, by walls, or even potted in regimented order as in our garden. Sometimes solitary or in lonely clumps, other times in martial clusters on manoeuvres, and a new elm by the watercress beds in such a breathtakingly joyful profusion. But whether it is this spring's golden rapture, or because this spring carries stronger memories of my mum, I can't rightly say. I can say, like the Merchant of Venice, forsooth, I know not why I am so sad. Herrick's daffodils were certainly one of Mum's favourites, and one of those favourites that endured her entire life, in the good times as well as the bad. In youth's gladness in Ireland, and the sadness of her bedridden closing years in Maidenhead, a place in England which had become her beloved second home, and where she felt very much at home. Like many emigres, her homeland had become an unknown land. Mum spoke these words on cue every spring, disdaining Wordsworth's blousier and better-known stanzas for Herrick's melancholy rhyme. And every year she would sigh wistfully and sometimes tears would roll down her cheeks. And our lifetime are a mosaic of such trivial, sweet remembrances strung like beads of a rosary through our lives, so much so they sometimes have a life of their own and so pass down through generations. Perhaps it is a very Irish thing, a bit like those Irish New Yorkers who shout out their Irish heritage and drink green beer and march down Fifth Avenue on St. Patrick's Day, although they've never seen Ireland. I recall once going through immigration at San Francisco, where an American immigration officer of Chinese heritage took my passport and, having seen I was Irish, asked me how the folks in the old country were doing. The Irish diaspora owns its own power, and thoughts of Ireland always come in March. I clearly recall our excitement on receiving bunches of shamrock husbanded in wet newspaper sent via post over the sea to reach us in time for St. Patrick's Day. Shamrock was pinned to my school blazer, but at school it was at once a marker for derision. The tracery of such childish moments from childhood make the children of immigrants forever foreign in this green and pleasant homeland. And in all important respects, England is my homeland. I love so many things about it. It would be impossible to list them all. Not least, I love the language we share and weave with care into an ever-evolving tapestry of thoughts and hopes and fears and loves. I love its history, even if the history widely held to be fact is often less than factual. I love its culture and its amiableness and its distant unknowability. I love the landscape, sometimes wild, sometimes appearing to be wild, and sometimes manicured beyond good manners. And I love the many shores of its many islands where one still may be a stranger all alone. I love its laws and its love of law, even if it can be litigious, mean. I love its humour, I love its music, yet for all I love so much, I also know that it's far from perfect. It remains a work in progress, and in these recent decades, progress has become painfully slow. No wonder the young are so impatient of what we have bequeathed them. Lowering my expectation to the purely domestic, we've exchanged our windows, out with the old creaky drafty and in with the brand new ones with internal blinds that swish open and closed. We were lucky because the balmy early spring days had not given way to mad March days with their blustery winds and sharp showers while this installation was underway. The dogs were mad too for the days of scaffolding being erected and then the installation. They barked and barked and barked. Finn has a bark that particularly grates upon the ear. Soothing words are no more calming than imperious commands. Still, the long walks that ensued probably did me much good. With the windows in, the paintbrush, paint and ladders once more came out. I mused from my perch on the top of the ladder whether this would be the last time I'd adventure up such a thing. Adventuring seems rather to be the fashion of this age, where men even older than me sit atop their pyramids of power and shake their angry fists at the heavens and make war on earth. Our tragedy is that we've always come to believe that when we can win a war easily, when all the hard evidence suggests we cannot. The ultimate delusion of imperial power is the overwhelming force of arms can settle matters once and for all. Rarely do they settle things once, let alone for all. It appears the United States holds to this grand delusion much as a drunkard holds on to his final glass at the end of the night when everyone else has given up and gone home. This year, the last days of March will be the end of Lent and Easter comes with April. There will be bluebells in the woods and blossom along the hedgerows and village lanes. How beautiful the light is in early spring. How hopeful all the buds may be. How sudden the trees will be in leaf. How quickly gone our memories of winter and of our darker past. Amid this season of renewal, the countries of the Middle East are to be in rubble and flames. Their hopeless ruin must surely give us pause for thought. And so, back to Herrick's Melancholia. We have short time to stay, as you. We have a short spring. As quick a growth to meet decay, as you or anything. We die, as your hours do, and dry away. Like the summer rain, or as the pearls of morning dew, near to be found again. And that was John Murphy.